We are happy you tuned in to us this Sunday afternoon for Take Time for Jesus. We would like to thank those who have helped us with the financial blessing. And at the end of this broadcast, we will give you our email address where you can email us or the P.O. Box so you can write us. God bless you. Here's Brother Earl and Sister Sarah.
Praise the Lord. Brother Earl's on the puny list today, so we just ask you to pray for him. I've got my dear sister Eunice in the radio station with me this afternoon, so pray for us that the Lord will give us what he would have us to do to get forth a message in these last days. We are at a fallen away, so far fallen away that it's going to take tragedy for us to get back to the Lord. And I just praise God that he's put a desire in my heart that I want to serve him. I don't care what comes or what goes, I want to serve the Lord. And I just pray this afternoon for each and every one of you. Like I said, pray for Brother Compton. He had surgery a week or so ago, and he's recuperating fairly well, but he needs your prayers. And I just do appreciate this time that we can come to the radio station. Brother Robbie, hang in there. Mm-hmm. Brother, you never know how many where you are that you will lead to the Lord. Let your light shine, Robbie, that others may know that Christ dwells within you. And you'll be surprised when you get to heaven, you get your life straightened out again, and you get to heaven, Robbie, God's going to say, look, Robbie, all these guys here was because you're here. You get you witness to them. That's why they're here. And Lord, we just ask you, God, this afternoon, as merciful as we can, that you would bless this radio broadcast. Bless those out of radio land, Lord, those that are sick and afflicted, those that are in prison, those that are bound by habits, Lord. We just pray, God, this afternoon, Lord, that you would touch their bodies, touch their souls, God. Those with cancer, I curse that cancer in the name of Jesus. We pray, God, that you'll be with us, Lord, this afternoon. Give us words to hear. Your word says it's not what we would say, but what you would give us to say at the time in which we need it. So, Lord, we're depending on you this afternoon. So we ask you, God, that you'll be with those, oh God, that are shut-ins this afternoon and can't get out. We ask you, God, that you'll be with each and every one of them, my brothers and sisters in the Lord, my brothers and sisters in the natural, wherever they may be. And God bless us and keep us in the hollow of thy hand. In Jesus' name we praise you. Amen.
Amen.
This afternoon, I have, many years ago, I got this little paper. It's called the Bible Friend, and I still get the Bible Friend. It's a newspaper that's very inspirational, and it's really not that expensive. If you would like to have a copy of it and you can't afford it, you just write to Sister Sarah at the post office box or send me an email, and I'll get it out to you. But this afternoon, I want to share with you the dilemma of the two-headed snake. And this was in 1994, when a two-headed snake gets one mouse for dinner, which head gets to eat? This is a dilemma of a two-headed snake. The University of Tennessee has been studying this problem for several years, ever since a two-headed black snake was brought to them 12 years ago, which would have been 1982. The snake was donated to the university by two young boys that found their snake in their family garden in Oak Ridge, Tennessee. Gordon Burghardt, a university philosophy and zoology professor, has been studying the unique animal for several years. He says that the two heads fight over their mouse dinner, given out twice a month, despite the prey winding up in the same stomach. If one head gets a good grip on the head of the mouse and the other gets a good grip on the tail, they can fight for hours unless you stop them, Burghardt said. All of us are a bit like this two-headed snake. We are creatures with two distinct natures. One is a natural man, the other is a carnal man that seeks to satisfy the lust of the flesh and the hunger for material things. The other nature is the spiritual nature that craves to worship its creator and hungers for righteousness. If one nature gets a good grip on half of man's will and the other nature gets a grip on the other half, they can fight for years until one wins control. Paul spoke of this natural struggle when he wrote, "The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things." That's in 1 Corinthians 2, 14 and 15. Which head has gained control in your life? All of us have two natures. And no matter which nature we are subject to, that's the one that's going to take over. You can raise your hands, you can say you're a Christian, you can speak flowing words that you're a Christian, but do your actions really speak that you are? Many times I've been in places, and I'm not lifting up me, but I've been in places where people that I don't even know came over and they asked me, "Are you a Christian?" Mm-hmm. And I tell them, "Yes, I try to be." And they said, "Well, you just sit there so calm and everything going on around you, and you sit there so calm." And I said, "I've learned all these years that you can't do anything about anything, so accept it." I have a little thing that's on my wall, and I can see it every morning. It's right there at the breakfast table. And it says, "Lord, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference." There's a lot of times when we want to change things and we try to change them, but we don't use wisdom. We change it because we want to change it. Things go wrong and everything. If we would take it to Jesus Christ and say, "Lord, it's bigger than me. I need you to help me handle it," and put it in the hands of the Lord. Just like our children. We have children that are not serving the Lord. And we go to the altar. We leave them, you know, we take them. We gave, "I'm going to put you kids on the altar today. And God, deal with them however you want." So you sit there in service at church. You listen to the message and everything. Whenever you go out the door, you run up to the altar, grab your kids back. You say, "Okay, Lord, I put them there, but I'm going to do what I can and see if I can turn them around." A prophet in his own household is they won't listen to you. I've had many times, you know, when I've talked to the kids, you know, and I've said, "Kids, you need to get your life straightened out. You need to put your heart and soul into serving the Lord." And yeah, "Mom, I know that. But they don't. And so they get in a situation and they'll go to somebody else. Somebody else can witness to them and get them to serve the Lord. We have one that did that. Right now, she's a little bit, you know, slow and everything. But I believe eventually God's going to bring her back. He just has to put her through a few more trials and everything. And that's the way it is with all of us. We go on easy street for a while and think everything is going great. And then we forget that God is even around. We kind of put him on the back burner, as we heard people say, or we put him in the trunk as a spare tire. And Brother Compton has said before, you know, that you go to your car, you don't check your spare tire all the time, and you don't even think of it. Then you get out there on the road somewhere and you have a flat tire, you go in to your trunk and you see that one's flat too. So what do you do now? Well, if you got AAA, you can call AAA and they'll come out. Or if you're old like us, Eunice and I, and Dan, of course, you can call AAA, and if you're a member of AAA, they'll come out and fix it for you. But not everybody can do that. So my advice is, every once in a while, you young people, go check up on your spare tire. But also, put your mind on, get your mind on Jesus. Jesus is the answer to all our problems. There's nothing that he cannot do. We have so many things that we try to do ourselves, but it just doesn't work. We have come to a place where we depend on one another, and I believe in one another. But a lot of times, other ones can't help you. You need a higher power to help you, and that is where Jesus Christ comes in. We are at a fallen away place in our churches and our world and everything. We used to have all kinds of services and everything. We used to just gather together and worship the Lord and everything, but we're such a fallen away time now that, and we sing songs, Lord, I need you, I need you, I need you, till we get out of the church. And it's just a thought. You know, we're spiritual when we're in church, and I'm talking about me too. A lot of times, you know, I get out of church, and I guess they say confession is good for the soul. And so we get out of church, and there's other things that come up that we just feel like that to take God's place. We need to put God first, first in our life, first and foremost, first in our music, first in our everything we do. I listen to the radio a lot, and I listen to Christian stations because it seems like they can help you get your mind on Jesus. They don't play the old songs a lot anymore, but I'm from the old school. I like the old Rugged Cross. I like take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there, and count your blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. I know I've done it too many times, though. We concentrate on things that are not going good instead of counting our blessings. I am blessed every morning I wake up. I put my feet on the floor, and I look and see the light, and I can walk. I'm blessed. I go in the bathroom, and I look in the mirror, and I see that old lady looking back at me, and I am blessed. I go outside, and I'm a nature lover, as I said before. I'm a nature lover. I go outside, and I look at God's creation. I started out probably 2 months ago with two doves that kind of hopped around the yard, and I throw bread and stuff out there to them, and they'd eat it. The other day when I went out there, I got 20 doves. I got bird seeds sitting everywhere, and I think they went up there and they called and, hey guys, I know where you can get something to eat. And so there they are. And that's the way we should be in our churches. You know, we should be drawing people in. You know, let our light shine out that others, you know, knows that God lives in our hearts. And we can beg other people to come, but is our light shining out where other people want what we have, or are we putting our light under a bushel and just letting it shine whenever we think that we need to, you know, let somebody see our light? But we should let our light shine 24/7. I try, but every once in a while my light gets dim just like everybody else's. But I thank the Lord that there's a song we used to sing, and I'm not going to sing it, but the words of it, he put a light down in the valley so that I might see my way. He leads and guides me every step of the way. And that is my prayer a lot of times in the morning. I make up songs, you know, and I don't know, the sometimes the Lord says, oh Lord, where did you get that? But when I was born and raised in Pennsylvania, we didn't have singing and choirs and organs and pianos and drums and all that stuff. Somebody would get inspired, and this is way back, and they get inspired and somebody would sing a psalm or a scripture out of the Bible. And if you really go and look at a lot of the old singers, and I won't mention any names or anything, but if you listen to the words of the songs that they sing, you'll find that a lot of them are taken right out of the scripture. They were inspired by God when they wrote those songs, and they took them right out of the Word of God, if you listen carefully. Too many people now, though, were listening to the jazzy and the music. You know, you get in church and you clap your hands and everything, and I'm not against clapping my hands, but we need to have songs of inspiration, things that'll touch your heart. And after the announcement here in a little while, there's a song that Brother Dan here at the station is going to play. And I want you to listen very, very carefully to the words of it. And listen, listen with your heart. Listen to the words that this man says. It's an old gospel song from many years ago, and I won't even promote their name, but if you are a country gospel listener, you'll know what I am talking about. And so in a few minutes here, we're going to listen to this song and listen to the words, and then I'll be back with Dan.
AM 1110, WTIS, Tampa. Inspiring radio for over 35 years. WTIS, Tampa's inspiration station.
My soul is thirsty, Lord. I long for Thee. Roll back the silence, Lord, and speak to me. My heart cries out to You, Your love to claim. Break through this emptiness and touch this child again.
Behind this idle song lies great desire to be delivered, Lord, and set to flames of fire. Take this empty life
Praise the Lord. Is that your desire this afternoon for God to touch this child again? Every time I sing that song over in Pinellas Park a lot, and every time I sing it, I cry, but it touches my heart, and I'm just praying this afternoon that it had touched your heart also. We are blessed this afternoon to have one of the sisters from our church, Sister Eunice Burnham, that writes beautiful poetry and everything. And so Brother Compton couldn't be here today, so we said we're going to do it. So just pray for us that we can get through the next 35 minutes. But I just thank the Lord for Sister Eunice. She has been a blessing to me. She sends me all these emails, and some of those I've read on the radio too, that they're really an inspiration. And if we would just learn to contact one another, you know, and be a true sister, no matter what goes on in my life, no matter what that may go on in Eunice's life, we can talk to one another like sisters. And the Bible said that Jesus will stick closer to you than a brother. Well, Eunice sticks closer to me than a lot of my sisters, and I just love Sister Eunice, and I appreciate her. She's been a blessing to me. She's been a blessing to my husband, and she's been a blessing to the church. She is a good cook. When we need somebody to do something at the church, all we have to do is say, Sister Eunice, put it together, and she does. So I just thank the Lord for Sister Eunice. So at this time, I'm going to give it over to Sister Eunice, and she will do whatever God wants her to do. May God bless you. Here's Sister Eunice.
Hello, everybody. This morning, I didn't know that I was going to come, so I really didn't have anything prepared. I'd like to tell you something happened to me this morning. I was alone, and it was right after I'd finished breakfast, and I was praising the Lord and praying my morning prayer. I like to do it when I'm alone, because then I can shout or dance or whatever I want to do and not care what anybody else thinks. But I was just praising Him, and I raised my hands and asked Him to use me in any kind of way that He would like to use me, that I'm ready to be used by Him in whatever capacity. And about 10 minutes later, the phone rang, and it's Sister Compton. And she said, Brother Compton can't come to the radio station. Would you please come down there? And I thought, thank you, Jesus. You know, you answered my prayer right away. Sometimes He seems a little slow, but He always comes through, whether it's slow or fast.
Right.
And I just praise the Lord for that. Just a little bit about me. I was baptized first time when I was 12, and it was out of fear, because we were taken, anybody that hadn't been baptized were taken out of our classes in Sunday school in our church. And we were told that if we weren't baptized, that if we died that night, that we would go to hell and it'd be burning and our flesh would fall off and all this stuff. It just scared me to death. So I couldn't wait to get up there the next Sunday and get baptized so that I wouldn't go to hell. Well, I went all these years for a long time and thinking that I was saved and I was safe and all this. And you go through things as a teenager and as a young adult. And I really didn't realize that I really wasn't saved until about 2003 and 4. At that time, I developed lymphoma, which, as you know, is a form of cancer. And the Lord got me through that, and I am a cancer survivor. I'm still in remission. I have to go every year just to get checked. But the Lord spoke to my heart in 2005, and I was baptized for the first time, as far as I'm concerned, in my heart, in my life.
In Jesus' name.
Yeah, so Jesus. I was baptized on my birthday with my granddaughter, Lauren. So that was a wonderful time for me, and my life started then. And since then, I have lived for Him. Before, I would not go to church if someone didn't want me to, or it got in the way, or we had something else to do. But now I'm in that church. Mm-hmm. God, I don't want to miss anything, because there might be a message, especially for me, from the Lord, and I will not miss unless I just can't make it. But I appreciate Him, and I love Him, and I brought a couple of poems I thought maybe you might enjoy. I write them for different reasons, and then in the last few months, He's also given me it's like a poem, but it's a song, because when He gives it to me, He gives me the tune, too. So I have the whole thing complete, and it's from him, and I won't change it, right?
I'm not going to sing that.
Because she sung it one time, she changed it a little bit. I went, it's got to be just like the Lord gave it to me.
But the way I had to sing it, though.
Yes, true. That's true. But it turned out really good, and she sung it beautifully. Okay. There's something here for you ladies out there that might need a little boost this morning, or this afternoon, I guess. Sometimes we don't realize our worth, and we are worth a lot in God's eyes. Mm-hmm. And whoever said that the women are the weaker sex had to be a man, because there's no way that they could do and go through and take care of and organize and everything like we do. So I've got a little thing. I didn't write this one, but I think it's really good. It kind of hits it on the head for us women. Women have strengths that amaze men. They bear hardships and they carry burdens, but they hold happiness, love, and joy. They smile when they want to scream. They sing when they want to cry, and cry when they're happy and laugh when they're nervous. They fight for what they believe in. They stand up to injustice. They don't take no for an answer when they believe that this is a better solution. I'm guilty of that. They go without so their family can have. They go to the doctor with a frightened friend. They love unconditionally. They cry when their children exceed and cheer when their friends get rewards. They're happy when they hear about a birth or a wedding. Their hearts break when a friend dies. They grieve at the loss of a family member, yet they are strong when they think there's no strength left. They know that a hug and a kiss can heal a broken heart. Women come in all shapes, sizes, and colors. They drive, fly, walk, run, or email you to show how much they care about you. The heart of a woman is what makes the world keep turning. They bring joy, hope, and love. They have compassion and ideas. They give moral support to their family and their friends. Women have vital things to say and everything to give. However, if there's one flaw in them, it's that they forget what they're worth. Proverbs 31:28 tells us, "Her children shall rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praised her." And verse 30, "A woman that fears the Lord shall be praised." So all you ladies out there that think you're a second citizen or something, you're not. You are a woman. You are special in God's eyes. He uses us to take care of things that other people can't. So, you want me to continue? Or? Anyway, one more thing I'd like to add. I used to work in an office, and when it was not busy, I'd have time on my hands, and the devil would really attack me. Believe it or not, when you have time on your hands and you're not focused on the Lord, he will attack you, and you'll start thinking things you never would believe that you would. So I made this little short poem up, and when he started attacking me, this is what I would say aloud to myself, and I still do it today. When I feel weak and I feel his attack, I say this out loud, and it does work. He will leave you, because he and the Lord cannot stay in the same place.
Right.
And I'll take the Lord, please. I will keep the joy of the Lord in my heart, and the devil will have to depart. He hates the joy of love that God sends from up above. He tries to beat and hold me down, but God places on my head a crown. He wants to make me feel so bad, but God is near to make me glad. It's hard sometimes to go through life, you see, with the devil always attacking me. But with my head held high and the words of God in my heart, in Jesus' name, he will depart. God knows the pain we're going through. Be not afraid. He'll never abandon you.
Amen.
So that I hold in my heart, and I hope that you will keep that in your heart as
well. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Well, thank you, Sister Eunice. I just praise the Lord again for Sister Eunice. She's been a blessing to me. And we had a brother that passed away a couple weeks ago. We had his memorial yesterday. And I want to share a track that just kind of fell out of my Bible here a little while ago. It's Too Late. And this is maybe cutting some of the parents out there, but it's true. It's too late. And one reason why we don't keep our children from being drawn into the world is that we begin teaching them right from wrong after it's too late. Parents wait until their children lie before they teach them to tell the truth. They wait until their children swear before
they teach them the importance of righteous conversation. A lot of times parents will swear too, and the poor kids don't know anything different until they go to school or they go to a daycare or they go someplace else, you know, and they cuss and everything, and the teacher's shocked and the kids all laugh and everything. And then other kids pick it up. But the time to teach your kids not to swear is whenever they start talking and you can tell them no, they understand it. They hear a bad word and you say, no, 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 that's a bad word. But the time is starting to teach them whenever they're little, not whenever they get into school. They wait until their children are all wrapped up in this world before they tell them of a better world. The time for you to tell your children about Jesus is when they're born, even before they're born. There was a song I used to sing, and I heard it a long time ago, and I've looked for it for Mother's Day, and I'm looking for it for Grandma's Day. But it says, I learned about Jesus from Grandma's rocking chair. And that's about the way it was with a lot of people. Right. Grandma would be rocking you, and she'd be telling you about Jesus. But now there's so much garbage going on in the world that they tell them about all these, I don't even know who these guys are on TV. They call them cartoons. Every one of those cartoons has got violence in. Then they wonder why kids grow up whenever they're teenagers or whatever. They get into trouble. They kill and everything like that. They rob, they steal and everything. What else have they got to do? They put them on TV like cartoons. I don't even know any of those cartoons. I've never seen them in my life. And so, you know, what they talk about, I don't know, but they always talking about these here, I won't even mention it, but there's one on there that those kids are so disobedient that it people laugh at them and everything, and they think it's funny, but it's not funny. It's a serious situation. Those kids are nothing but brats, and you let your kids watch them, and you're letting your kids grow up to be brats. And disobedient and everything, talk back to the parents. I think if I'd ever talk back to my mom, she would have cracked me up alongside the head. And I don't think she would have, but she would have got the backside real quick. But we spent a lot of time on a chair. If we disobeyed, we were farmers, and my dad used to go out in the field in the morning. And so if we want to do anything bad, we'd do it. Get, you know, arguments with one another, fusses and everything. We do it long about, say, 10 o'clock, and we can call, Daddy, you'll be in for dinner pretty soon, and we'll get up off the chair, because my mom set us on a chair, and she said, you'll sit there till your dad comes in from the field. Which, you know, we probably should have got her behind beat, but we didn't. But we grew up, every one of us grew up to be good godly people. You know, there's 13 of us, and so that's a lot of kids. But if we disobey, we had to sit on a chair, not where we could reach the TV button, not where we could get an iPad, or not where we could get the computer or whatever, or not even in a corner. We sit in the middle of the room and watched everything that was going on. My brothers and I used to get in a fuss all the time. She'd put us on a chair and tie us together with a piece of string. And she'd tell us, now sit there. And we'd have to sit there until Daddy came in from the field. Or if we decided we loved one another, we put our arm around them and we had to sit there like that. But until you say you loved me, or I love you, brother, or he'd say, I love you, sister. We'd sit there, and then it looked like to my mom everything was going good. And then she'd get up from, she'd let us get up from the chair. My brother or I, either one, would turn, and you'd say, I still hate you. Guess where we ended up? Back on the chair. You'll sit there till Daddy comes back. Eunice wants to say something.
I just want to say, you mothers out there, instead of putting the kids in front of a cartoon just to keep them quiet or get them out of your way, take the time to sit down with them and watch and listen to what they're watching and listening to. Is it something that you want them to know, or are you going to turn the channel? I challenge you to do that, because there's a lot of hidden messages in these cartoons today, and the kids are watching it, and it's sinking in their little minds. and be an example in front of them. If you don't want them to talk ugly, or if you don't want them to lie, then don't you do it. Don't you talk ugly to them. Don't lie and let them see you lie. You have to be that example. They're little mimics, so they're gonna copy exactly the kind of life that we show, that we live. They're going to be the same way.
Thank you, Sister Eunice. We're being different this afternoon, so bear with us. Another thing in this here track is we're too late with your prayers. The time to teach your child to pray is whenever they're little. You know, even kids, they used to learn the little nighttime thing. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. It may be a little repetition to some people, but if the little one says that at night, and then, of course, they go with the God bless mommy and daddy, God bless brother and sister, and then about the time they start to go to, you think they're going to settle down to sleep. Oh, wait a minute, God, I forgot. Bless my teacher. Bless my Sunday school teacher. It's like you train up a child. The Bible says you train up a child in the way they shall go. When they're old, they won't depart from it. But too late, as this track says, too late, too late. Too late, we try to make mold out of our children. Whenever we should be molding our children, after they learn to talk, when they learn no, you tell them to do something, you say no, and let them know that no means don't do it. A lot of people, you know, and we're not getting on bad parents today, I don't think, but we're trying to help you. And Brother Compton, this wasn't what we thought, but pray for me. But I never put anything up. When my little girl was growing up, and I never put anything up where she couldn't get them. There was knickknacks, there was glass things sitting on the coffee table and everything. And I just say, no, no, honey, don't touch. Don't touch. And a lot of times she'd stick her hand out there, and I didn't have to say no, no again. I'd just look at her, and she'd take her hand away. Now, you know, you tell a child not to touch something and they throw it anyhow. They say, I dare you to tell me what to do. But we're teaching our children too late. Too late with your discipline, too late with your benediction. You put all your care between your kids from 12 to 18 years old trying to get them to do right then. It's too late. You need to start when they're younger. They're the salt of the earth, too. Those little ones go to school, and they can be a light to other ones in the classroom that doesn't know who this Jesus is. They can point them to Jesus. If you teach them about Jesus and everything, the kids can learn, too. It's like it's a beginning thing. It's not an ending thing. And then we wonder why kids, when they're 12 and 18, you know, and 13, 14, in those years, you know, there's kids getting mixed up in drugs and everything like that. We had drugs, too. My mama drugged me to church when I didn't want to go. She drugged me everywhere I didn't want to go, but it didn't hurt me. That's a little humor, and I got an email, probably from Sister Eunice.
Probably.
It
says, when I was a child, we had drugs, too, and it had different things, you know. But it's a different kind of thing. Now, you know, kids get on drugs and everything to get high. They get on drugs to get happy. I've never been on drugs. I don't know what it is. I don't know what pot is. I don't know what any of that stuff was. And I just thank God that I never got involved in it. There was people I knew that did, and they'd say, hey, come on, try it. You know, try it, and you'll, it's different, you know. And I said, no, I don't think so. And I have a friend up in Jacksonville that I had a job as being an executive's assistant, and I had to go up there a lot of times, and she would invite me over to her house and everything. And of course, you know, they had these here pot parties, but I just couldn't participate in it. I think, you know, that my mom trained me different, and I had a conscience,
it seemed like every time I'd think about doing something, there was some little thing that sit on my head, you know, knocking me and said, don't do it. Now, I didn't, you know, I had a few little bad habits and everything, and even movies, and this, you know, like I said, is different today, but when I was growing up, movies was a sin, you know, it was, you just didn't go there. And so one time I went to a movie and I thought, I sit in there, I didn't enjoy the movie. But I sit there thinking that anything could happen, you know, the roof could cave in, a fire could start, or whatever. But I got through it, and my, you know, little bad conscience, you know, says, hey, nobody will know anything about it. You were 40 miles from where your mom and dad is and where the church people is, but guess what? I don't know who told them, but somehow or other, the word got out that I saw a movie.
Probably talking in your sleep.
I might have talked in my sleep, Sister Eunice said. I don't know where, and I didn't tell my brothers or my sisters because they were nothing but tattletales. And Jim, if you're listening, talking to you and Carol. But somebody found out. And if you ever heard about religion, you might say, or whatever it is, that's real strict on things like that. They almost shunned me because I was of that religion. I don't call it a religion. It's more of a people that love the Lord. I'll tell you what, if you love the Lord like some of those people do, you would forgive your enemy even when they do wrong to you, because they're different. And I know you know who I'm talking about, but at one time I was part of them. But I was so, they prayed for me, took me up before the church. They prayed for me like I had committed the unpardonable sin and I was going to hell. I was scared. I was really, really, really scared. And I said, I'll never do that again. But guess what? I joined the army, and one of the girls there talked me into going to the theater. It didn't cost us anything, of course, because it was on the base. So I went there, and then again, I sit there thinking and praying to myself, God, please don't let this place burn down while I'm in here. I'm sorry, I know I shouldn't be here, but I won't come here again. And guess what? I never did. That was the last one until later on in life, whenever I chose to go a different way, because your spouse goes a different way. Your spouse can lead you the wrong way as easy as he can lead you the straight way. My sinner spouse died many years ago, and my current spouse, I thank God for him. He brought me back to where I was, and I brought him back, or helped to, you know. We got God in our life, morning, noon, and night. Wake up in the middle of the night, and I can hear him in the bedroom talking to the Lord. I'm one of these people that go to bed and sleep. It's like the Bible says, he'll give you rest, sleep, and peace. And I do. 11 o'clock, when I say amen, I go to sleep, and the dog wakes me about 7 or 7:30 in the morning, and I don't think I hear nothing. I keep saying when Brother Compton was in the hospital, and I did kind of toss and turn, try to wake up at time to see if I could hear anything. But he's my guardian. You might say, I don't worry about anything. I don't worry anyhow. You know, worry as of the devil. I read that many weeks ago, but we should take our worries to God and let him take care of them. If I really have a worry, I just got some friends and relatives, you know, that I can call them and say, hey, I got this thing to worry about. Will you do it for me? But I don't. I don't worry. I just take one day at a time. This song, One Day at a Time, Sweet Jesus, and that's the way I feel about it. But when the real formative years of your child, when you need the chief care, is between the ages of 4 and 9, you can mold your child better before they go to school, before they get in high school, before they get into junior high, whenever they are in the molding years, whenever they're not filled with all this garbage from the world, it's always too late to repair a ship after it leaves the dry dock. And that was what is true too. You can't repair a ship. If that ship is leaking, comes into dry dock, and it's leaking after it goes out and you haven't fixed it, your ship is gonna sink. But we need to start living our life each day as if Christ was coming today. He is coming. We don't know when. But there's so many people, you know, have kind of predicted, you know, now we got, I think, December sometime where the Lord is supposed to come back. But I don't know when. I'm not going to say. It's up to the Lord. I look to every day as if it was my last day. Put God first in your life, and all these other things will be added unto you. It's been argued that no man would allow his bride to go through suffering. He would be able to take her out. We are the bride of Christ, but we are going to suffer tribulation. So get ready. The time is coming whenever we are going to have to trust in the Lord for everything. It doesn't make anything what we have or what we do. We are going to have to put our trust in Him. The plagues in Egypt came upon the Christians the same as they did those that were heathens, you might say, and that's the way it's going to be. People are going to start persecuting us. There's churches over in foreign countries, and we thank God it's never gotten to the United States yet, but we might as well say it is. We're at a falling away. Used to have camp meetings, used to have revivals, we used to have prayer meetings, we used to have all these things, but they have gone by the wayside. This afternoon, let me ask you a question. Are you ready? Are you ready? Brother Dan's going to play another song here, and it's Are You Ready? It contains a message, and we'll pray that Brother Compton will be here next week. But right now, I ask you, are you ready?
Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready for the judgment day?
Jesus spoke sweet peace to me. I trusted Him and left it all behind.
Since Jesus touched me,
I have to sing His praises.
Since Jesus touched me, I have to testify. He loved me, He saved me, He healed me and forgave me. I bless the day I trusted in.
Sat by the highway begging, longing for these blinded eyes to see. Then one day when He passed by, Jesus touched my weeping eyes, stretched His hand of mercy out to me.
I am the man who was living like the devil.
sing His praises.
I'd like to thank everybody for tuning in today and listening to us. And thank you, Sister Compton, for allowing me to be here. I have one more little poem that I would like to finish. And, okay. I see the eyes of the Savior. They're looking right through me. There's something He's trying to tell me. There's something He wants me to see. I see the sins of this nation turning their backs upon Him, laughing and mocking Him as in days of old, not believing the things they were told. He wants them to know that He loves them and will forgive them all of their sins if they would only turn from their wicked ways and again trust and believe in Him. Just remember, there's only one way to heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ. Thank you so much. Be blessed.
We would like to invite you to come to our church, Christian Growth Fellowship, where Pastor Pennington brings the Word of God every Sunday morning at 10:30 and Wednesday night Bible study at 7. The church is located at 149 April Lane in Tampa, Florida, 33613. If you don't have a church home, come join the family at ours. If Take Time for Jesus has been a blessing to you, email taketimeforjesus@wtis1110.com or write Take Time for Jesus, P.O. Box 17272, Tampa, Florida 33682. God bless.
That's all my heart to fear, and grace my fears really. How precious did that grace appear? The eye I first believed. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy rains on it.
Bringing Inspiration Radio to Tampa Bay for over 35 years. This is AM 1110, WTIS, Tampa's Inspiration Station.